Animaniacs, welcome back to another episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode 4. We are recording this on June 6, 2018. You know me as Qui-Gon Tim, and joining me tonight is John. How are you tonight, John?
I'm excellent. Enjoying a lovely, cool, very random summerish evening.
Yeah, it's not too bad out. It's been rainy here the last few days. It's finally cleared up. Should be nice.
I want to hear nothing of your rain.
So, folks, we know it's only been a week since we recorded and posted our last episode, and this is supposed to be a show that we do every 2 weeks, but Liz and John and I got to talking, and we realized that recording every 2 weeks, we have a lot of news, and it kind of takes us a long time to get through said news. And that then kind of minimizes the amount of discussion time that we have. So we figured 2 weeks of news was really too much to cover. So every other week, we are still going to do a full episode with news for that week, along with our major discussion. In the weeks opposite those, we're going to do a shorter news show, just covering the news for that particular week. So the benefit here is that you folks get more content because we are actually able to cover more news instead of trying to call through the stuff that might not be as important at that time so we can condense it, so we can make sure we have enough time for discussion, and we get news to you actually sooner in case you might have missed it. So with this, it's intended to just kind of be a shorter episode. More or less rapid fire, just a kind of tiny little bit of discussion with each news item. And you'll maybe get any permutation of hosts that we happen to put together for it. So tonight happens to be John and I. Liz was supposed to be with us. I have no idea what happened to her. She might have been eaten by an alligator or something. I'm not sure. That's what she gets for living in the swamps of Florida. She's like in Orlando, so she's not really in the swamps, but still.
Tim, we both saw her Instagram story of her playing with a dog.
True. That was like not too long ago. And she was supposed to be like at that point, probably driving to the location that she records. So maybe she forgot about us. I don't know. Like I texted her, didn't hear back from her.
Tim.
No idea.
Tim, the puppy is way cuter than either one of us. I mean, the puppy is cuter than both of us combined.
True.
We lost out to a puppy. It happens.
Yeah, I can see that happening. So, news items. First of all, Avengers Infinity War. Now, I didn't know this until I read this article. And John, you posted this article in the show notes.
Yeah, I didn't know this either until it popped up on my feed earlier today.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of interesting. So apparently, China, for foreign movies, they limit the runtime in theaters, I guess, to what, 30 days?
It sounds like that, yeah.
And so they have extended the runtime for Avengers Infinity War by another 30 days, which apparently is a very, very rare thing for them to do. The whole reason why they do it is because they want to promote Chinese film in China, which I guess makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So Infinity War is going to get a 2-month run in China, and the first month already was like freaking amazing. I mean, China is, you know, we look at the domestic box office numbers here typically for a lot of things. When you look at the global numbers, the real heavyweight in global numbers typically tends to be China. So for them to do this, to extend the run for Infinity War, is a pretty big deal. That's really going to continue bumping up these numbers for Infinity War quite a bit. So I mean, there's no bad side to that. There really isn't.
And they had in its initial run, it is already reached $360 million in its first 30 days there. And they're estimating it'll hit 370 by the end of this upcoming weekend, which means it is the most successful film in Marvel film in China Previously, that was Age of Ultron.
Wow.
So, I mean, and Tim, to give you the, you had said how rare it is. Last year, extensions were granted to Coco and Hacksaw Ridge, and then in 2016 to Zootopia. And that's it. So it is not something that China chooses to do on any form of regular basis.
Yeah. Definitely not a bad thing.
No. No, I mean, and it's, you know, Infinity War right now is standing at 1.9, so 1.9, almost at the 2 billion mark. So it's not going to take too much more to throw it over that big $2 billion earmark. And it's what, June? It's still got a lot of runtime.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely has a lot more runtime here in the U.S. Certainly, competition has been a little bit bigger with Solo and with Deadpool 2, but Infinity War is still going strong. It's still pulling in some decent money.
Absolutely. And speaking of runtimes, Tim, did you see Ant-Man and the Wasp? I know you're very much looking forward to this. Their runtime has been announced.
Yeah, I pulled up the article and saw it.
So, Tim, before you read the article, what would be a good runtime for you for Ant-Man and the Wasp? Like, how long a movie would you want?
I'll be fair. I want it to be a good movie. Even though I don't like Ant-Man, I do want it to be a good movie. I think Wasp will be a really cool character. And certainly if this is going to have some kind of impact on Avengers 4, I want that to be explained reasonably well. So, you know, that's cool. Give me an hour and a half long movie. I'm good with it. That'll probably have enough Ant-Man / Giant Man / Ant-Man stuff for me.
Okay. So this is going to come in at 118 minutes. So a little bit longer. I mean, which is actually weirdly the same runtime as the first one.
Okay.
I will agree with you, as much as I like to bust your chops about the original Ant-Man. I thought it was a good, fun movie. I don't necessarily see this as a need to see opening weekend. I think it was on Echo Base this past week where you guys talked about an event versus a movie. Wasn't that the theme? Something along those lines?
Huh?
Weren't you talking about how this Star Wars fans need to recognize that not all of the Star Wars movies are events? They're just movies.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Aren't you a host of that show?
Occasionally.
Okay. To me, Ant-Man and the Wasp, it's a movie. It's not an event like Infinity War was, or I'd even say Black Panther was.
Sure.
It's a movie. It's going to be fun. I happen to really enjoy Paul Rudd. And so I am looking forward to it, but it's nowhere near the excitement level or the anticipation for really any of the past couple Marvel movies, you know, that have come out. I was much more excited for Thor Ragnarok and for Black Panther, obviously,
yep.
And the standalones, but the trailers look okay. It'll be some entertainment for it.
I'm not going to get into a discussion about the trailers because that's not why we're here.
Okay. It's not a news
but
item.
I did not like them. So.
Okay.
But I know you have more Ant-Man related news, which I will allow you to cover because, you know, I'll let you cover it.
All right. And I view this more as Paul Rudd news than Ant-Man.
Sure.
And I do very much like Paul Rudd.
Yes,
so at the annual Big Slick Celebrity Weekend fundraiser, which is in Kansas City, and that is about the extent of what I know of the fundraiser. But Paul Rudd auctioned off a Captain America shield that was signed by all of the MCU stars, which sold at auction for $53,000, with all the proceeds going to the Kansas City Children's Mercy Hospital. Kind of
That's
put
cool.
this in there because it is kind of one of those cool you know, the actors of the MCU, one coming together for them to all to sign the shield. And it's a, it was a, there's a cool photo of Paul Rudd holding the shield.
Mm-hmm.
And the activism that the actors have, and I really do enjoy hearing stories when actors and actresses do this. And, you know, it was a couple years ago that Chris Pratt and Chris Evans had the Super Bowl bet with, you know, the loser having to dress in costume and go to the children's hospital in the winner's city and things like that. And I do think it's nice when they go and do things like this. And, you know, kind of right on the, you know, continued publicity for Ant-Man and the Wasp. You know, I'm sure that's maybe why Paul Rudd was involved, but I thought it was a nice to call out something good that they did for a local hospital.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really cool they do that. And we've seen Star Wars do the Force for Change also. And we've seen a lot mm-hmm. of other celebrity-driven, charitable type of work out of the MCU. And I think that's really cool. I think that's awesome that they are using their platform and their celebrity to drive a lot of that. So we have been joined by another host. Hi, Lizzie.
If she joins at this point, is she the special guest? Does she remain the host? And quite honestly, now whose fault is it? I'm so lost.
I think I'm just that girl.
She has a walk-on role on the show.
And I got a lot from my walk-on role in Confessions of a Shopaholic, so I'll take
it. You get what, like 97 cents every 3 months or something?
$4.
Oh, $4.
Which I feel like is still a lot for basically having done nothing.
True, I guess. Yeah.
Hi, I mean, guys. Sorry. I had a friend who was in emergency and I had to go help her. And so I was running a little late, but
I had to do with a puppy.
It was her friend's dog. My friend's dog was there. Her name is Eliza, and she's a giant, like, whatever doodle that, like, is amazing. Yeah, so, sorry, guys. I was paid in pink Starburst, if that helps.
That does, only if you share.
Yeah, I would be happy to share. Don't say I never got you anything, Tim, because now you can't say that's true.
You know, that is absolutely true, and because I got cool Star Wars stuff from Lizzie. So
I'll have to make a Marvel next time in honor of our podcast, and I'll have to send some to John.
I appreciate that. We just need to open up Marvel World.
It's happening soon, so don't worry.
I know.
Soon, yeah.
Soon. I will hopefully be out in California for the opening. So what are we talking about?
Well, we just finished talking about some Ant-Man stuff, and
Your favorite.
Yeah, I know. So we're done with that, unfortunately.
Oh, we can recap. Can I just put in a word for how excited I am about Michelle Pfeiffer? Because I love her.
See, I'm really excited about Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, also yes. Love.
Yes.
Respect. Because you're allowed.
Like, I love anything that Lawrence Fishburne is in. I love his type of humor, and I love how he handles himself, and I think he's fantastic. So I'm, like, really stoked about whatever character this is that Lawrence Fishburne is playing in the movie.
You are totally allowed to fangirl over Lawrence Fishburne the way I'm mm-hmm. fangirling over Michelle Pfeiffer. Totally acceptable.
So are you guys planning on watching Cloak and Dagger? Not the answer I was hoping for. This is an MCU podcast.
Well, now that I know it's MCU, I kind of feel like I have to. Looks interesting to me. I just don't know anything about Cloak and Dagger, so.
Well, it starts up tomorrow night, actually, yes. On Freeform, tomorrow being the 7th of June. So with all luck, I'll actually have this podcast edited and out tomorrow morning.
What are you, a superhero?
Well, it's short. This is a short news show, so it shouldn't take me too long to do the editing. So yeah, that'll help quite a bit. So.
And Tim hasn't cussed yet.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't, you know, gone into any swearing fits, even when John talked about Ant-Man and stuff.
I guess the question is, do you want a swearing fit? That way you'd have more to cut out? Like, is that more to bleep? Is that helpful for you?
It'll make it easier, yeah.
Ah, with.
So then I don't know, personally, I don't know a whole lot about Cloak and Dagger. Anything I ever saw with them, particularly when I was really big in the Marvel comics, was fairly incidental. If they happened to, you know, there happened to be a crossover event or, you know, they were guesting in another comic or something, there's some type of appearance. So I don't really know a lot about them. I'm kind of intrigued about it. I mean, they pushed them really heavily at New York City Comic Con. Last year, I mean, there was all sorts of stuff about them. And so it's been, you know, now like what, 9 months since then. And it's finally coming out. It's going to be on Freeform. You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, Marvel really has not done anything for the most part that has been unsuccessful. So,
except for Inhumans.
Yeah, except for Inhumans.
Touché.
That one we cannot say was successful, sadly.
True. I guess we'll see what happens with this.
I am intrigued by it and interested. I just don't know a lot about it. And while I know it is part of the MCU, because obviously we've discussed it, it doesn't feel like it. So it doesn't automatically – it's like Runaways. Like, I'm very interested in Runaways. It's just not – I didn't jump on it from episode one. So mm-hmm. Now I'm a little bit behind and I don't have Freeform, so that's just tricky for me. But I am interested in it for sure.
Yeah.
And that's actually, Tim, when you put that it's going to be on Freeform, my first thought was, I don't know what that is.
It used to be ABC Family.
Yeah, so I don't...
RIP ABC Family.
I'm assuming I maybe have it. I don't know, though.
Okay.
So I will go and dig a little bit to see. These are shows, I'll give it a couple episodes. And it's long as it's not horrible. Mm-hmm. I'll keep up with it. And it's, you know, and I go back, Tim, this is years before, well before the podcast, when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. first came out, I watched two episodes and I'm like, I'm out. And right. It was you who convinced me and said, you really need to get six or seven episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
so true.
Those first, what I did is when I went back and started watching it, I did jump in. I think I picked episode 8 in season 1 and just started mm-hmm. there. So there are episodes I've never seen. Don't plan on seeing them, but.
Right.
I do understand you got to give it a little bit of time to see how things will go with it.
Yeah, I think it takes time for the writers to really discover who these characters are and kind of find their paces with them. I think it takes some time for the actors to figure out who their characters are and similarly find their paces with them. Plus, they're getting into a story. Usually those first couple of episodes are always kind of this awkward, sometimes origin story-ish type of mm-hmm. thing, or the beginning of something, and then they're really not getting into their adventures, if you will, until a few episodes in. So it can be a little challenging. I set my DVR for it tonight to record, because I rarely end up watching things live.
Do people do that anymore?
Not many.
Yeah. What is this DVR you speak of? a bit dated.
I use on demand.
If it's not on Hulu or Netflix, I don't watch it. Or Amazon Prime.
The interesting thing here is, so the Cloak and Dagger characters are teenagers. The show is on Freeform, which is, again, formerly ABC Family. So it's still a family-centric type of network. Yet the show is going to be on at 9 p.m. So it doesn't seem maybe that they're not really targeting that mid-teenage demographic.
But wasn't, I would agree with you, but didn't Star Wars Rebels, always air late initially too?
True.
Also, remember, this generation doesn't watch things real time, so that makes no difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This whole generation's not watching things at that time.
Good points.
That's for our parents' time to watch it.
Exactly. Or our time, sadly.
I was going to bring that up.
Embrace it. Embrace it, John.
We're the old folks.
For your time,
you
old man.
That's right.
That's true.
We're the old folks now.
I'm not as old as you, I think.
True. True.
And I'm not as young as Shannon, so there we go. There
you go. Speaking of release dates, we don't have it on here, but I do just want to throw it out there since it is MCU, that Luke Cage season 2 starts June 22nd.
Oh, okay, good.
Yay.
That's good to know. That
is one I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
I see, it fell kind of flat on me, particularly the second half of it, of the first season. So I'm hoping that this one does more with the character. I really liked him in Defenders. I thought he was great as part of a team. Mm-hmm. There were some rumors that Iron Fist was going to make some appearances in here in this second season. So they're hopefully doing the,
Heroes for Hire.
Heroes for Hire. So, you know, hopefully there may be going a little bit into that. And I actually really like the fact that they had some friction in Defenders, which always kind of makes things interesting when the characters then finally start to resolve their differences and then get along a little bit better. So I'm looking forward to it, even though the end of the first season didn't do much for me.
I met Mike Coulter because one of my friends is really good friends with him. And that's that right, sort of sold me on watching it forever. So I was like, oh, hi. Yeah, no, I'll watch it for sure.
Oh, yeah. That list, you have a good picture with him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
That I just post all the time at random. I'll share it with you right now, John.
All right.
I'll share it on something.
And Tim Finn Jones is listed as a guest in season 2.
Okay.
I will say Iron Fist did get better because I can't stand Iron Fist out of all of them. He's the worst. I can't stand his character arc or anything about it. I like Finn Jones. I really want to like it, but his character arc is garbage until you get to Defenders where it actually has like some traction.
Right. Right.
It's like the same as the beginning at the end. So Luke Cage seems, I don't know, maybe he wasn't that different either, but he was just more interesting to me. But I'm in for a season 2. I'm excited.
Liz, I feel the same way about Iron Fist. I think I'm going to give season 2 because of how Defenders went a little bit of a benefit of a doubt to see where it goes, but
also because of Colleen Wing, she's the only redemption.
True. Also listed as a guest in Luke Cage season 2.
Ooh, okay. I'm in.
Okay. Let's see. Next up, we did have mentioned by James Gunn on social media, and apparently the post had been taken down soon after. But he mentioned that he was on May 30th attending a meeting of the MCU directors.
Is that like the Illuminati?
Well, you know what? I think it's pretty darn close.
Okay.
There was
the Illuminati.
There was no other information about this, but this just solidifies, I think, the reason why the MCU is so damn successful. And that's because these directors are getting together, they're getting a cohesive vision, they're communicating, they're being given direction, and they're all kind of moving in lockstep. Even though they've, you know, divided all their little fiefdoms and which movies, you know, who's going to do what movies and that kind of stuff, everyone knows what's going on. And that connectivity that the MCU has is, it resonates. It is felt by us. And that is something that when you look at DC, it's not there. It's not even that it's not apparent. It doesn't exist flat out. And, you know, quite honestly, even to an extent with the sequel trilogy of Star Wars, we don't really feel that connectivity either, because it just seems that they're, you know, shooting from the hip on their storylines. And I'm not meaning to bash either Star Wars or DC, but the MCU certainly has much more connectivity than those do.
Well, there's certainly a stark difference in the feeling when you watch them, and that's not That doesn't mean that. I think what happens when we talk about them in comparison is the people who love what they're doing feel like they have to defend it. And nobody's saying that you shouldn't like it. If you like it, like it. Like, that's great. Like, what we all want is to like it all. That's like, I know I wish I liked The Last Jedi more than I do, you know? And, but like, whatever. The point is that when we're making that comparison or making that point, there is something special and different about what Marvel is doing. And it is unprecedented in a way that we've never seen it before, except for maybe on a very different level, what George did with the prequels. In that he really did have a vision for something greater. Now, is it choppy? And are there parts that we can, as fans, say like, yeah, we know he wasn't great at writing romance and he maybe we shouldn't have. But like, we can say that about the MCU too. It doesn't mean that we're bashing other franchises. And I never want to be, I never want that to be the perception, because I can tell you what I liked about the DC universe as easily as I can tell you what I don't like. But there is something really special and unprecedented about what Marvel's doing that is just constantly comes up in the conversation that I think makes people who love what the other fandoms are doing feel like they have to defend it. And they don't. It's fine. Right. It's just we're feeling that from the MCU. Hi, that's why we started this podcast, because we feel that so much. And we see that between the actors, between the directors, between everybody.
And I think a big key to that success is an event like this, where the directors are getting together. And I got to be pretty damn sure that this is not the first time they've done it, at least part and parcel, to bring these people together to talk about, okay, what movies are coming up? What are the major story beats? Okay, we're going to have a Black Panther 2. We're going to have a Guardians 3. We're going to have this movie and that movie. And you know, Kevin Feige says, okay, you do whatever you need to, whatever it is you want to do with that movie, but I just want to make sure that you include this character or address this plot point. And, you know, and he kind of moves around the room, and that's kind of how I imagine that happening. It's just kind of like he's conducting an orchestra. And each one of those directors are the first chair for their section.
I love that analogy.
That's how I see it.
And I'm sure going back to the rumors about Black Adam and where would he fall in? And I'm sure it's meetings like this where it's like James Gunn saying, no, I've got a plan for that. We kind of introduced him in Guardians 2. He fits our bigger overall storyline. And if the Russo brothers had said, no, we absolutely need him in Infinity War, having that dialogue back and forth to see what makes the most sense for the MCU, not two individual directors' movies.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that's why we saw, and we talked about it in one of the earlier podcasts, of James Gunn having some influence into Infinity War, into the dialogue for the characters and the direction those characters took, and other directors not being threatened by that.
Exactly. Because they recognize that this is basically the MCU is a team sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're part of a greater story. And what can they contribute to that or leave their mark on it? And how does that weave into everything, whatever anyone else is doing?
Yep.
Exactly.
And even though Star Wars, Lucasfilm has their story group really fills a very different role. They're much more in the background. They're very passive. They're simply there to make sure that there aren't conflicts in the new canonical story and to resolve any issues. Whereas this is very much leaning forward into things. This group of directors very clearly is involved creatively as a collective and to an extent, kind of like what John was saying about Infinity War, even in each other's work. And I think that kind of collaboration, that measure of collaboration is really important. And it obviously shows in their success.
Yeah. I mean, Infinity War's numbers really do speak for like, if any, there are naysayers, there are plenty of them, but like, proof is sort of in the numbers, dude.
Yeah, sure is. So obviously we were missing Hawkeye.
Liz? Oh.
You were missing me.
We were missing Hawkeye. Are we over this now?
It's okay. You can heal. It's time to heal.
We were missing Hawkeye from Infinity War, and they explain that within the story. But there might be an actual reason behind the camera as to why Jeremy Renner was not in Infinity War. So apparently at the time that Infinity War was being filmed in Atlanta, the movie Tag, which comes out next week, I believe, was also filming and also in the Atlanta area. And Jeremy Renner was also in that. And actors certainly are sometimes filming two movies at the same time. So generally not a big issue. But I guess on the third day of filming, and this was this little tidbit was released by, I have to go back to the article here and see.
I saw it on Screen Rant.
By John Hamm.
Oh, well.
So John Hamm mentioned on the third day of filming for Tag, something happened with Jeremy Renner, and he actually broke not one, but both of his arms. Saying
that's a vicious game of Tag.
Yeah. So Hamm's quote here was, Jeremy Renner broke both of his arms at the same time. Day three of production, we had 40 more days to go. Keep in mind, this is a man who's done 100 Avengers movies and been fine. He does this movie about playing tag. Both arms snapped like a matchstick. Which, I hate to laugh. It's horribly painful. I've broken an arm before.
Just because we laugh doesn't mean that we're happy it happened or that we wish that on anyone. It's just ironic.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, maybe that's why he wasn't in Infinity War. Maybe that's why they dropped him. I mean, very early promotional stuff for Infinity War did, in fact, show Hawkeye. Yeah. Like, the first iteration of promotional material showed him, and then after that, he was out. So maybe that's why they pulled him, was because, well, he can't very well draw a bow when both of his arms are broken.
Tim, they can CGI that. They've shown in movies before that you can CGI mustaches. You can CGI him drawing a bow. It would have been seamless. I'm sure of it.
It's true. Absolutely. I mean, if they can CGI a very young Michael Douglas that looks like Michael Douglas walked off of a time machine, then, like, they can basically do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Michael Douglas freaks me out of how good he is. I'm sorry. Like, that is uncanny.
So nothing's been confirmed in terms of that Jeremy Renner news actually being the reason why he wasn't in Infinity War, but there's a lot of real logical speculation that leads us down that path. So a couple of related things, and in the last episode, we did kind of jump a little bit into the Spider-Verse, even though it's not directly MCU related. I mean, it is when it's kind of just Spider-Man or Spider-Man Homecoming stuff, but it's not necessarily with some other movies. So first of all, definitely related to the MCU, as Spider-Man Homecoming was. Don't expect to see Spider-Man Homecoming to be distributed on Netflix. Apparently, as part of the deal, because keep in mind that Marvel Entertainment does not own license to Spider-Man. This is a deal shared with Sony, who has distribution rights for Spider-Man films. Because of that, it is, at least not right now, going to be on Netflix. There may be some sort of a deal cut to do that in the near future, which would be nice because then we would actually be able to see every single MCU film on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they also carry the Daredevil, Jessica Jones, et cetera, Defenders shows. They carry all the past episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They don't have all the movies out yet.
Not all of them, but the vast majority of them, yeah.
Yeah, Ragnarok just got added yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah.
I may have watched it 1.5 times.
I haven't watched it on there yet, but I am alerted and ready.
And Black Panther has a release date for Netflix, so that is going to be coming up. Now, of course, all this may very well change once the Disney streaming service starts up.
That's what I was wondering about. How does this impact that?
Yeah, we don't really know yet. They haven't released any of that information. Maybe we'll see Homecoming on there. You know, if Disney's willing to pony up some money to Sony so they can put it in there and keep all this stuff connected. Or maybe they're not going to care. But who knows? Who knows? So that's that. Lastly, again, not part of the MCU here, but we did mention in the last episode the movie Silver and Black, which is supposed to be Silver Sable and Black Cat as part of the Sony Spider-Verse. We talked about that being in early pre-production in our episode last week.
Yeah.
And as of this week, it's now been taken off of Sony's schedule.
What did you do, Tim?
It is not my fault. Remember, we blame Liz because she was not on the last episode.
Oh, no, it is. No, it's totally. I was in California, so obviously yeah. I did some things while I was out there that I knew you guys wouldn't like. But I had, yeah. I did me, okay? I had to do me. That's it. Sorry.
Hey, if you're owning it, that's all I can ask.
That's all I can yeah. do. That's all I can do, Chuck. Say, I went to Sony okay. and was like, what are you doing? Although I would have been like, obviously I would not have put a wrench in the socket. Hello.
Yeah, you know, I think it would have had potential to be a good movie, but it certainly would have had to be done right. I mean, they are not...
Live action?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. This would have been live action. The thing is that particularly, I think, like I like Silver Sable. I think she's a very well-developed character. Black Cat never did much for me in the comics. But neither one of them is Venom. So where I think the Venom movie is going to do really well as a single character based movie, I don't know that Silver Sable and Black Cat really could have carried much of their own film. Maybe I'm wrong. But I mean, I know they were still not even really they didn't have any serious scripts yet. So that's, I'm sure, what caused them to drop it. They could always add it in the future once they get a good script in hand. Who knows?
I think Venom's going to be very telling for them about the direction that they'll go with new things in that verse.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Also, but side note, I'm excited for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's coming out at Christmas, the cartoon.
With yes, Miles Morales. The animated one. Yep.
Oh my yep. gosh, I'm jazzed for that. It looks sick. And the animation is so cool.
It really is. I like seeing a lot of the stuff that they've released over the last few days with that. It looks really good. I think it's definitely something watchable.
And because I
think it'll be a lot of fun.
Because it's Miles Morales, I kind of feel like it could be like sort of like accidental canon or like sidewinder mm-hmm. canon because we have already touched on Miles Morales' family line and everything in Homecoming, and that is official canon. So I feel like maybe mm-hmm. this could have some serious ties to the greater MCU. I hope so, because I'm jazzed about this movie.
And they can take it in whatever direction they want to.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's good. All right, folks. Well, that is our that's our wrap up here for our news update for the MCU. Next week, I will not be around, but John and Liz, you guys are going to be doing a full regular episode next week, right?
I'm just here for the ride. I don't know things. I'm the opposite of Tyrion Lannister. I just drink and don't know things. I basically just drink.
Liz, are we going to do a drinking show?
I can't because I have to travel to get to my show. I can't like drink when I get here.
Oh,
yeah.
If I didn't have to, then I would.
All right.
Hashtag we'll Liz needs better internet.
We'll see. Yes. Send help.
Or Uber.
Or Uber. I could Uber. I will Uber just for you, John.
Expensive to the network.
Well, please let us know your feedback on, of course, on all of our shows that we do here. And definitely let us know if you like the idea, this whole concept. We know it's episode 4. And hey, guess what? We already changed the format of our show. Let us know if
we
you
do
like
what we want.
If you like the shorter news update episodes in between our regular episodes, you can send us that feedback by email, guardians@randomchatter.com. And of course, if you are part of our Discord community, you can hit us up there.
I'm so glad I made it in time for the last quarter of this podcast, you guys. Oh gosh, you guys can find us online and you can basically shame gif me for missing so much on Twitter. I'm at Nerd in the City. Where are you, gentlemen? Tim?
You can find me on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
And John, where are you?
You can find me at Podcaster Supreme, which is Podcaster Supreme, just minus an E.
And you can find this podcast. Oh, did we change that?
We did. We need to change the notes.
You can find this podcast at Random Chatter on Twitter. We have recently changed that. We do not have our own designated Twitter anymore. We will be part of the general Random Chatter Twitter, but you can find us individually and you can hashtag Guardians of the MCU, and we will be watching out for that. Let's put that in the official notes, y'all. And you can also find us on Instagram at Random Chatter. I can also be found on Instagram at Nerd in the City. It is my favorite medium to chat on, so definitely find me on my stories and chat me up. It's my favorite. You can also find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. We have a lot of other offerings that we would love for you to hear and be a part of.
And as Tim pointed out, please do continue to spread the word, leave reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcasts. I actually was pulling up. We still do not have officially enough reviews on iTunes to officially have a review score. So if you could do that, it'd make me feel better than eventually just reading my mom's on there saying how cool she thinks it is that her son's on a podcast.
Thanks, John's mom.
So continue to leave reviews, tell your friends, and continue to spread the word in those fashions. Also, if you have the ability to do so, because it is summer, we're going to take a hiatus on offering if you give a certain amount of money on Patreon to do things to Tim. I'm going to take a little break on that. His wife may have reached out to me and said, hey, enough with offering to tattoo my husband for money. But as Tim mentioned, we are on Discord. All of the shows on Random Chatter and our main room are open to the public. But for as little as $1 a month, you do have the ability to access more things on Discord and interact more with all of the hosts across the Random Chatter network. As well as the more you give, the more things that we give back to you, whether they are bonus segments where it's pre or post show with just the hosts sitting and chatting and talking about any number of random topics. Last week, Tim and I reviewed Solo because why not? It happened to be what we were talking about. But if you're not sure if you like Discord exactly. And want to donate that dollar a month, jump in and just check out the networks. It's a great community to certainly interact with.
And that's it. Thanks for joining us again, folks. And we will catch you next time with another episode of Guardians of the MCU.